life, universe, everything. So settle in, get comfortable, and let our journey begin as we meet the hosts, internationally acclaimed mediums, Mick and Zoe Avery.
Welcome to Spirit's Work, the metaphysical and spiritual show with a difference. Mick and I are spirit mediums, healers, and authors, and on this show we bring you interdimensional communication between this world and the other side of life. We don't follow anybody else's beliefs or concepts, but we talk directly to the spirit world. We get our information from those not of physical earth, but who continue to help us. And tonight's show is part, well, actually I've lost count of, well, I thought it was part 9 last week, but I actually think it's part 9 this week, so it could be 9.5, I don't know. Anyway, it's all about Gregory's journey in the spirit world, and it's been absolutely fascinating. And if you'd like to phone us with a question regarding our show topic, the number to call is in the U.S., it's, by the way, it's toll-free in the U.S. and Canada. In the U.S., it's 877-876-5227. In Canada, it's 888-815-9756. And if there's any international callers listening, it's not toll-free, but it's only a quick call, and it's 001-530-876-3222.
Well, hi, I'm Mick Avery. As well as Spirit's Work on the wonderful and ever-present and looming large bbsradio.com, every Monday at 7 p.m. and Thursdays at 1 p.m. PST, we also have another radio show, which is called Spirit Teaching, and you can hear that on artistfirst.com every Tuesday at 7 p.m. PST. If you'd like to know more about us, please go and visit our website, which is www.spirit-teaching.com, and also at www.spiritsworkradio.com. I'm a deep trance medium, which means that I have the ability to go into the deep trance state and allow the spirit team who work with me to transport my spirit and my consciousness to the ether world, and then use my body to speak through. I will not know of anything that has gone on during the broadcast or during the show during this time that Gregory is taking control, and it will be just like I've gone to sleep or had an out-of-body experience, which is what happens. It will be Spirit Guide Gregory Hay who will be speaking to you for the whole show, and this is something that has been perfected over many years, and something that was developed for a very special reason. But I'm going to let Sylvie tell you more about all of that while I go off and have a kind of a sleep or, well,
wherever
disappear.
It is you're taken to.
Yes, wherever it is. And I don't necessarily know either, by the way, where it is that they're going to take me to. It's different every time. Sometimes I'm aware of it and sometimes I'm not. But it doesn't really matter because that would attract attention to my mind as to, you know, because I'm a curious, nosy soul. And that wouldn't do, would it?
No, it wouldn't.
No, okay.
Okay, so
I'm
going to go off now. And actually, the situation to do with the group, I will just briefly tell you a little bit. But, in fact, this is what we're talking about. We've got to the stage in Gregory's journey now where we have got to the stage where he is at the point where he is developing his relationship with the group and forming the White Cloud group. And all about his training, so it's going to be absolutely fascinating. Anyway, this situation briefly was brought about so that an educational spirit group called the White Cloud Group could bring us information and guidance concerning matters of our world and life beyond our world to help us to understand the nature of our existence. Gregory himself had an Earth life 300 years ago and was chosen to be the spokesperson for the White Cloud Group. And it is through him and the scientific minds of the team that he represents that we aim to bring truthful information and knowledge to help people enhance their lives and the lives of others and to restore the balance and the well-being of the planet. The subject matter is endless and the information is without any religious bias or political persuasion, and we believe in everyone's right to their own views and beliefs And as I say, if you'd like to join us with a question to Gregory, and it's not a reading type of show, it's about whatever it is that we're talking about that week. And as I say, today we're talking about his journey in the spirit world, so you might want to know something about an extension of what he's talking about to do with the spirit world. And it's toll-free, 877-876-5227 in the US, and Canada is 888-815-9756. Okay, so, well, I do believe Gregory is with us now.
Hello, my dear friend.
Hi, Gregory.
With love and light. Blessings be upon your pathway, as always.
Thank you. Okay, so, today, well, last week we ended up talking about, you were saying that you had to learn about the art of Stacey.
Yes.
Which is what we would call something like a meditation where you alter your vibration.
Yes.
In order to be able to actually start your work with the group.
Yes, Stacey is where one individual, no matter whether they are a spirit or a spirit having a physical human existence or any other form of existence, when you are dealing with matters of interdimensional communication, if you will, then that is the art of Stacey. And this is really, in a sense, it isn't just meditation. It is, because of course on physical life there are many different forms of meditation, as there are, in fact, in the spirit world, because many beings, of course, bring back their forms of meditation to the spirit world and continue to practice them, because that's their conditioning, that's to do with their state of learning and where they need to be at that time.
But when you were starting to learn yours, you had never meditated, had you?
No, that is true. I had never meditated, although I had before, of course, been in very deep prayer. As a child, as a being in physical earth, I, as Gregory Hay, was a practicing Catholic, as you know, and that at that time I actually deeply practiced prayer, the art of prayer, and in a sense, I suppose, you could almost say that that was a form of communication between myself and that which I aspired God to be at that time. However, the whole aspect of Stacey is really to do with the diminishing of and completion of the eradication of mind. Mm-hmm. So it means to say that Stacey is where you completely empathize and create this well of peace that you may dive into at any moment. And this, in respect, will then allow you, the traveler, to actually, I suppose, I wouldn't say move away from any situation you are in, but certainly to seek the island of peace is something which perhaps many beings miss, and that it actually affords you a place where you may not just dwell in the peace, but gather strength from the peace that you find yourself in. So it means to say then that by gathering the strength, you gather your courage, you can gather your loving vibration, perhaps. You may even be able to, through dwelling in this sense of peace, create into the veil of enlightenment. I know that one person's enlightenment is not necessarily somebody else's, but I'm saying, really, in deep sympathy to all of those that try to struggle for enlightenment in some form or another. After all, it's only really the birth of an idea and a realization of an aspect of life. That is true enlightenment. And what Stacey enables you to do is to bathe in that crescented vibration in such a way as you will then be able to really immerse yourself in that loving energy that you create around you yourself, that you bathe in yourself, because it's of your own desire. It's of not of an egoist, situation. It's not coming from a platform that you have to conjure up an image or create a certain ambience around you in some form of methodology like opening and closing chakras or nothing to do in it. It has nothing whatsoever to do with the aspects of physical life or the intonations that have been made that are supposed to control that physical life and the aspects of spirit energy engaged within it.
Okay.
So it is something completely beyond and outside of all of this methodology of moving through and into this meditational state. It is, in fact, immersing you into the state of being. And that is, in a sense, really and truthfully, the primal goal of all spirit.
Now, actually, before we go back to, because obviously we have to go back to where you first of all met certain members of your group, really, like,
yes,
like us.
Yes.
So, but before we do that, you were just saying about the vibration, about how that happens when you practice, basically. But when we describe when we do meditation and we teach meditation to communicate with spirit, we are saying that you are raising your vibration in order to be able to communicate with spirit.
Yes.
Now then, if you're in the spirit world and you're doing it, because we always describe it as you are lowering, you know what I'm going to say, don't you? That you are lowering your vibration to meet us because it's meshing in the middle?
Yes, in a sense that is true, but that is because you are, that what we're doing in that state is that we are in communication with beings who are on a physical level, which is at a different vibrational state. So I'm not saying necessarily that we lower ours. We alter it to suit the communication process.
Yes, I guess that it's been a way that has been easier for the mortal mind to understand that if you're raising yours, then we are raising ours, then you must be lowering yours.
Yes, but the problem really comes from, my dear friend, that human beings tend to look at this situation, the problem, if you will, that human beings are coming from a place where they have been quite possibly tainted in their physical life due to negativity, due to the aspirations purely by their created by their animalistic instincts, perhaps, in order to survive the human physical life, just by creating the sensation that they have to win something, yet they have to win the day, if you will. And by trying to win the day, it means to say that sometimes you will do that. Possibly you'll use an avoidance to do it, but you may well employ the energy that overcomes the will of somebody else, or that is better than the will of somebody else, in which case, of course, you're then employing situations surrounding the energy of ego, and you are also employing situations of courage, of course, but also your own survivalist instinct. And that, of course, can sometimes be at odds with the arc of just blending in the state of being and of raising your vibration purely with the intonation of love, for example. So if you just had love within your heart, if love was all that you felt, does it mean to say that you would necessarily get anything done, accomplished during your day? You may actually find that you accomplish very little if all that you had on your mind was the energy and state of love, because of the fact that you live in a physical vibration. It means to say, of course, yes, as a physical being, because you're interacting in that way, and I'm not blaming anyone in particular, I'm just saying that that is the state of fact.
Okay, well, what about putting it this way? We are quickening our vibration.
Yes.
So, okay, so do you slow it? Do you do the opposite?
No, we don't slow it. We just alter it. We alter ours to suit you. So,
but what is the outcome of that?
Well, first of all, one moment. First of all, it will be as well that it won't be an equitable value. It won't be a quantifiable state saying, oh, yes, I'm going to communicate with a human being today, so I must lower my vibration or alter my vibration to this particular aspect, to this index number or whatever. It doesn't actually work like that. Because everybody is different. Every physical being, every spirit having a physical journey at this moment is individual and different and unique.
So is this a wrong way of teaching students of how it works then? Because it seems to be a way that makes sense to us.
Yes, but it's really because it's less complex, I suppose. It's much easier for human beings to say, oh, well, you raise your vibration, spirit lower theirs, and
you
then
meet in the middle.
You just meet in the middle, and that's quite easy. There it is, done in the centre.
Oh, and that's all we need to see it as, really, because otherwise it just gets too complicated anyway, doesn't it?
Yes, well, I suppose. But I'm saying, though, however, my friend, with rational thought, you have to understand that it's not higher and lower, really. It's just different.
Okay.
It's just a different state of mind. It's a different state of vibration because, perhaps, in our understanding of our courage of life, our journey and work in the spirit world, it's perhaps easier for us to understand love, for example, not in a physical sense, but in an etheric, emotional sense. That is something which is more rarefied, perhaps, than the vibration of love, which is of a physical, emotional sense.
Okay. All right. So, let's go back to... Now then, do we have to go back to before you had a physical life?
I don't believe
so. For meeting when you met me or Mick?
Had you met us before
you had a physical life?
Oh, yes, yes, yes. I do understand
so
now.
So that otherwise we don't want to jump a situation that happened.
Yes, well, quite.
After you've spoken to White Cloud and he asked you about being the spokesperson for the group.
Yes, well, in actual fact, I understand that I had met you. I had met you in particular before I met our dear friend here. And I understand that that was a meeting which was based within the spirit world, not especially within the White Cloud group, but within our soul group. And that this was a meeting of a melting of minds, if you will. And that this was a state of recognition. In fact, I understand that because of the fact that you had a lot to do with horses at the time, as has been your life for a very long time, actually. I think, actually, it has been really to do with your spirit work long before you ever even considered of being a human state.
Mm-hmm.
And it actually comes right back to almost the beginning of the horse. And not only the horse, of course, but zebra and okapi and many other beings that were of a similar ilk. And my recollection of this was, in fact, that we met, in fact, in passing before I had a physical life.
Okay. And that was in 1705.
And I had a physical life in 1705, but we met hundreds of years before that, in terms of Earth's physical state.
Yeah.
But I remember that the situation was really loosely based around the fact that I was actually observing the horse at the time of my spirit development, of my inquisitive nature, I suppose.
Mm-hmm.
And that what I was illuminating was the very state of the way in which the horse's spirit was clearly defined, in fact, even I would say more clearly defined than many human beings.
Oh, well, I would say that.
Oh, yes, absolutely so, which is perhaps why it is that you are so enamored with them and they with you.
Mm-hmm.
It's part, of course, the course celeb of your journey, in a sense, because you have always had that. And I know always is a very long time, but ever since the horse existed, you have, and that it evolved, you have had a certain observance of them.
Mm-hmm.
And they've been around for millions of years, so it's quite an interesting state of affairs, really.
Well, it's fascinating to me. I hope the listeners are fascinated. Makes them think about, you know, having an occasional reading, maybe.
Yes, well, because the point is, my friend, that actually in your life you had actually brought about a great deal of understanding of these animals. And in fact, my friend, I have to say as well that you were actually part of the situation of, I wouldn't say higher spirit, but I would say other spirit beings who were in observation. And as that was a part of the soul group's specific journey, really, has always been about the relationship between species and this sense of acute observation of different forms of species. For you, it has always been equine.
Mm-hmm.
For our dear friend here, it had always been whales,
mm-hmm,
and dolphins.
Mm-hmm.
And there is no lesser spiritual value between either of them. They are both just as spiritual, in fact,
mm-hmm,
in many respects. In many, many respects, they are just as deep thinkers as one another.
Fascinating.
So the situation had been, of course, that, as I say, that many of these situations then, it became that you were actually a part of the descriptional works and writings of many books in the halls of learning to do with this subject, to do with the species of horse, to do with their inclination and their behavior, to do with their very close bonding with one another and with certain forms of human being and other being that they became acquainted with. It's no luck that you had this physical journey when you did, or that you were, for some reason, always detached from the human value. That's a very polite way of putting it.
It is. I don't think my teachers at school would quite put it like that, but absolutely.
Yes, my friend, but actually, friend, if they had really bothered to actually listen and understand you, then they would have found out that you actually could have written a great deal about the subject of horse, or about the conditions of their mind, or the conditions of your mind toward it, if you had been given the chance window to actually open that aspect of your life. You would have had a completely different set of reasoning,
mm-hmm,
brought to light.
Mm-hmm. Yes. And of course that goes, obviously that goes with lots of people about things that they're passionate about as
Yes.
a child, that is
Yes.
carried over from the spirit world.
Yes, as that's where it's all come from. It's
Yes.
all come from their soul group. It's
Absolutely.
All come from their illuminate spirit journey of evolution from millions of years, moving through the destiny, not through the rapes and pillages of humankind, which has been somewhat of a disaster upon the earth, but rather in observance of the many beautified species of the earth, because that is something which I know gives a sense of understanding and really moving into the welcoming state of the realms of really the proposition of how it is that God can be manifest in so many different illuminates, in so many different illuminations of the evolutionary state of the earth.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely. Okay, so we met...
Well, I cannot really pin a date upon it.
No.
I can't say
that's okay.
In 1094 was the day when we met, because at that time we were not actually completely consumerate with the calendar.
Yeah, no, you don't have to do that.
The Gregorian calendar, as it is now fixed. We were not actually illuminate of that, quite simply because it really didn't matter to us.
No.
It was a situation where we saw the days piling up upon one another, and we saw the activities, and we observed all of that state of life. and the way in which different animals interacted. And perhaps, yes, we understood perhaps that at times animals seem to act at the behest of some other form of instinct, but there was never a situation where they derived pleasure from the suffering of something else. Mm. It was only ever that they had to conquer some other physical life purely for food,
mm-hmm.
and that they did not necessarily begin to do that willingly, but it became their evolutionary state in that way.
Mm. Okay. Well, this is fascinating. So, what happened then? I mean, okay, we had something in common.
Yes, of course.
In
apart
the study
from
of species.
Yes, yes. But apart from the fact of coming from the same soul group of Arcania, it actually meant that we actually had an element of the perfect peace and perfect stability between us. We already knew one another as though I know myself. And know thyself, be true, in respect of how you may ever perceive what can be an element of God. Know thyself, be true to thyself, can be the only way that you can describe that feeling of understanding. And that is something that, even if there may be some elements of our lives which are different, quite simply because the life that I had was not the same as the life that you had, because you lived in a different time field to myself. And yet, at the same time, we both lived in the same time field because of our journey in the spirit world together.
Mm-hmm.
And in that way, it meant to say that there are many more situations of our vibration which are the same than those which are different. Yes, there are differences between us. Of course. I do not necessarily, however, think like a man. I don't think in terms of gender. I don't feel I do in any event.
Mm-hmm.
I don't feel in terms of I am female either. I feel in terms of my desire to create, my desire to help and be of service to something else, whatever that thing that needs my help, that desireth it. I am there and willing to operate in that being's favor.
Okay.
And that very much, friend, is the way that your inner sense of soul exists and how you have created in your physical life has been much along the lines of to do with that sense of vibration.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm not saying that other beings in other soul groups do not feel the same passion.
Oh, no.
Or do not feel the same vibration or the same sense of love.
No.
But it's just that perhaps the things that may become different are to do with their focus, their sight,
mm-hmm.
the insights of their own lives and how they may rectify certain situations may be brought about in a slightly different way to the way in which I would or that you would,
mm-hmm.
because perhaps they come from a different place of reasoning or relationship to that avenue of life.
Okay. Well, that's fascinating. If anybody would like to phone up and ask Gregory a question about his journey in the spirit world, you're listening to Gregory, who's being channeled by Deep Trance Medium Mick Avery, and I'm Sylvie Avery. And the number to call is toll-free in the U.S. and Canada. The U.S. is 877-876-5227, and in Canada it's 888-815-9756. Okay, so that's how we met, but we didn't. Did we stay in contact after this meeting, or did we pass ships pass in the night, sort of thing? Or?
Well, I remember, my dear friend, that we actually met on many occasions. It's just that the energy was so familiar that we felt that the situation that we were observing at the time, or the many situations that we have observed over millions of years together, are situations which bring us into a certain sense of humility, if you will, of the condition of the habitation of the earth.
Mm-hmm.
And that is something which never goes away, never dies, never passes, never moves away from us, regardless of whatever it is that may happen. And in fact, that is something that I remember that I was feeling, as I said, at the point of my passing, and not long afterwards when I observed the trees and in all their glory, in mm-hmm. their auric fields that I observed in that element of life. I remember thinking then, oh yes, I remember this. This is familiar.
Yes. Yes, I know what you mean. So who did you know me as? Who did you know me as then?
Well, I did not actually know your name at that point. I knew your energy and your vibration, the light that came from you and through you. You were this being who was, in a sense, that you had form, and this may well interest you, that you still had the form of a female being.
Oh, that is interesting.
And that the female being was not unlike human, but was not, in a sense, of the complete genetics of a human being, but was, in a sense, a similarity of a human being. And, however, but that the extremity of yourself was an iridescent color, was not a situation that you had pale skin or red skin or brown skin or mm-hmm. there was no skin tone,
mm-hmm.
that it was color. Mm-hmm. And the colors altered and changed depending upon what state of mind you were in at the time or what creation you were drawn toward at that moment. It was quite amazing for me to actually observe the states of situation of, I would say, almost spirit ether world anomaly mm. that took place around you, as it takes place around many beings.
Mm-hmm.
This form of actually presenting oneself as a form and yet not quite completely. That it's as though the form is there, the extremity, but it's not something that you can touch. It's something that seems to have a condition, I suppose. I'm sorry, I'm not really explaining this very well. It's like a condition, like as though you were looking at someone, a human being, but you cannot actually see their skin. That the barrier which is supposed to be holding them in is just this, in a sense, fuzzy, radiating vibration, which then appears to just blend into nothing.
We try. Yes, we try to see. It's quite sci-fi, really.
Sci-fi, friend?
Yes, science fiction.
Oh, like, I understand,
you know,
yes, yes.
But
oh,
yes.
But really, it was more really to do with your core energy, which was actually to do with two blue spheres, which were one above the other. Very similar, I have to say, to a dolphin's energy. And I found that quite remarkable, really.
Hmm.
In that a dolphin has two blue spheres.
I remember you saying that.
One above the other, with an undulating line. But you had, that is, an undulating line of vibration, which was of a slightly different color.
Hmm.
You actually had two blue spheres, one upon the other, which actually had a form of molecular activity which appeared within them, and that was something which both attracted energy and vibration and light, and also gave it at the same time. And also there were these other situations which emanated, illuminated from these two spheres, which were really, I suppose you could say, the tendrils of energy which went to the exterior of yourself.
Hmm.
And that they appeared to be moving slightly, and that they were of a very fine filigree, almost as though you could say that if you had seen a being that was made of lace.
Yeah.
And that their capillaries or something like that was something that you were witnessing, but that they weren't a soggy blue or red or something like that, but they were very fine, almost translucent, almost only just seen. Only just the merest hint of value there that appeared to form. And that was, in a sense, how you actually displayed yourself at that time. So does that mean to say that you had a mouth and eyes? Yes.
I did.
Yes.
That's fascinating, isn't it?
A mouth and eyes and arms and hands and fingers.
Is this because I was working with a lot to do with horses that that were to do of the beginning of the horse on Earth?
Yes, absolutely. And also because of the fact that you were working with situations to do with the Earth vibration.
Mm.
That is the same for many, many of the billions and trillions of spirit who are working in and around the Earth vibration, who actually maybe have a hand or a situation in some aspect of life that is taking place upon the Earth, or actually try to bring their energy in order to help perhaps some situation upon the Earth, or some relationship matter, or some condition.
But even if they've not had an Earth life at that time, that they
yes.
would take that form, basically.
Yes, absolutely so. But that doesn't mean to say that a friend of yours, you actually used to know a being called Chia,
mm-hmm.
who was a horse.
Oh, really?
Yes. And, however, Shear's description, before he had a horse journey, was something of a value which was not completely removed from your own.
Wow. How does that figure? I hope everybody's finding this is fun. I feel a bit self-indulgent here.
No, my dear, because
we've all got a story to tell. It's not that
absolutely.
I'm unique.
No.
It just makes you think
well,
about
you are unique, my friend, but everyone is unique.
Exactly.
Everyone has a story to tell.
Exactly.
That's really the point.
This is why it's so fascinating.
Human beings really fail in many respects to truly understand what their real life is. Quite simply because they're ardent followers of the human destiny, and that appears to be the only thing on the table. It's the only recipe that they have, and that is why human beings constantly want to regurgitate their lives
and which
again
is why
and again.
The reincarnation theory is so narrow-minded.
Well, yes, absolutely so, because it doesn't take into account the actual breadth of life and the whole continuum that exists. Way beyond the scope of mortal imagination, way beyond the scope of the interpretation, if you like, that human beings seem to be fixated upon.
You know, every time I see a bee bashing its head against a glass a window trying to get in, you know, it's like, it reminds me of that. You know,
yes.
People have, it's like
yes.
the reincarnation roundabout. No, I'm going to go back. There's nothing else out here for me.
It's only because they don't see it.
I know. Okay, so, all right. Carry on saying about Shia.
So Shia had been a being that you had related to very closely, because Shia was actually already a part of the horse form of vibration. Of it had already begun evolving in that way.
Mm.
As a part of the journey of Shia before actually becoming the physical embodiment of a horse,
mm.
there was already that leaning and understanding that Shia's journey was to be that.
Okay.
For millions of years before horse ever became, Shia existed
mm-hmm.
in the form of Shia. Quite simply, that it appeared that the evolutionary state and processes which happened upon the Earth merely mimicked the processes which had happened in the ether world.
Ah, okay, and obviously that's not the only situation that happened.
No, quite so. Mm-hmm. Although, of course, we do understand that many situations happen through the evolutionary processes of the Earth. The splitting of atoms and the way in which cell division work, of course, is well noted. However, the way that mutation works generally tends to occupy the situation depending upon a certain environment. So a tapir, which is a form of horse, for example, has only formed its long snout because of the trees and branches of the leaves that it strips off to eat. And that the only reason why it has the long snout is so that it can do that as well. If you look at the strengths of a horse and the way that it can use its snout, it too has that ability, except that by eating grass purely, or more importantly, by eating grass, it doesn't have to have that extended form of snout in order to give it that form of food, which, of course, the tapir or other forms of being of that form have actually become evolutionary mutated to take. And that, of course, is their pathway in life. But it doesn't mean to say that they think any less than a horse, because their evolutionary state is so similar, and all obviously comes from the same place.
Okay, hello, caller.
Hi, Sylvie. Hi, Gregory. How are you doing?
Hello, John.
Hello, my dear friend. Hello.
Hi.
With love and light, friend. Hello.
Gregory, could you please tell us again the role in pets and also of animals? And are animals on the earth to serve man, or do they have their own purpose?
No, animals on the earth are not here to serve humanity. That is a complete religious indoctrination, a situation of the Advent which makes it all right for any human being to play with or take their own view of any other form of life. Human beings just happen to have evolved and mutated differently from other animals. Animals have evolved differently from one another. That's part of the evolutionary process. One is not necessarily lesser than another. I agree that there are methods whereby human beings measure intelligence in a specific way, and I understand that. I empathize with that. But if you had talked to Shia before you had a physical life, if you had met or remembered the memories of your conditioning with many other spirit beings before they had a physical life, either as horse, elephant, donkey, as a giraffe, or as a dolphin or whale, or even a bee, then the situation for you would have been quite different, and your approach to other animals would have been quite different had you retained those memories. The fact is that many human beings do not retain those memories, usually because of the conditioning of birth or the situation surrounding the human activity just after birth, or perhaps even prior to birth, the situations of how the mother actually becomes harmonic in that way of life, or perhaps is in a great negativity or dwelling in a great negative place. That too, of course, will have an indication and impact upon the well-being and spirit interaction of their newborn baby and the way in which that spirit will interact with that being. That doesn't mean to say that situations of adversity do not breed beautiful, charming angels of people. They do. Of course they do. But I'm saying that the memories of their spirit world interactivity, the memories of your activity, anyone else's, are very often left and forgotten. Maybe because it is the journey that's important, and so it's better to focus upon the rationale of what you have to do now rather than focus back into the past of the rationale of what you did then. In a sense, then, that's why I seldom understand why it is that people are so besotted with their past or with some form of supposed karmic journey that they're supposed to have endured in some previous life.
Hey, John?
That's interesting, but I hope we didn't mix up the word serve with a subservient.
Oh, no, absolutely not. Absolutely not, friend. I understand completely. Of course, I do not mean to say that animals were either subservient or in service to humanity. I am saying that really and truthfully, if humanity really looked at, really opened their eyes to the world around them, truthfully, then they would not see this vast dinner plate. They would actually see it that they were custodians of this beautiful place. If humanity thought truthfully about the beautiful paradise in which they live, then they would not be so hostile to one another and so angry and so negative and so destructive to all other animals' lives. The fact is, friend, I agree that it's only really a marginal few who behave so disgustingly toward other animals, using them for their joy, perhaps to see them being, perhaps taking their lives from them, and that in itself brings a joy to some human beings, where to others it's an abhorrence. I understand that. But that's usually because the beings who find it so abhorrent are actually much closer to their veil of the life that they had in the spirit world before they had a physical journey than those who take their lives.
Okay, John?
Almost. Gregory, can I just ask?
I knew he hadn't quite finished.
How about the role?
Yes, absolutely, Ben. Do continue.
Now, it seems like pets, it really seems like they feel like they have lessons that they have to teach their owners and other animals, too. It seems like they're here to teach us lessons. But would you disagree with that?
Did you say pets or cats?
Pets.
Pets in general.
Pets.
Yes.
Yeah.
Are here as lessons or to provide lessons?
Yes.
Yes, I do understand. I think perhaps, my dear friend, because of the fact that they are, in a sense, so servile towards human beings, but at the same sense that they are actually actively progressing humanity in many ways in their relationship with them, and in a sense it teaches human beings to become more loving and more giving to animals, that in a sense it opens the doorway, the gateway to the rest of creatures in harmony, the rest of the natural world. I know full well that many people have difficulty with the natural world because they see it as some barbaric place. There you have even a mole disgustingly chewing up a worm alive, or birds of prey perhaps pouncing on some other bird or whatever and taking its life. But what else is it to do? It can't. It cannot go and plow a field and plant corn. It can't do many of the other things. And that, unfortunately, has become the evolutionary state. So I'm saying really that in some senses, human beings tend to focus upon that and those aspects rather than understanding that their relationship with animals starts really with the family pet. And the way that they treat them is not necessarily something that is too far removed from the way that they could treat other animals in the wild. And their intention upon that would be something that was greatly appreciated by animals in the wild. Why do you think it is that so many animals run a mile from human beings? It's something that has become impregnated into their instinct value, quite simply, because of the millions of years that human beings have hunted them.
Well, so really, they do. Pets do teach us lessons, don't they?
Very many lessons.
But they're
yes.
not specifically here for that reason.
No, my dear friend. Pets, animals tend to reflect the love that you give them, and that's something that's very real. It's something that's genuine, and that they have a sense of the creative when you are giving them love. They actually focus upon it. They dwell within it. It's something which raises their vibration and continues to exert an understanding for them that they, in fact, can use that admiration that you have for them and that love that you have for them, in a sense, to get what they want.
Wow, okay. Thank you very much. That was very enlightening.
Mm-hmm. Yes, thank you, John.
Thank you so, my dear Ben. Mm-hmm. Thank you. God bless you.
God bless.
Yes.
Yes, that's interesting. I mean, if they weren't, if they didn't rely on us, the pets in particular, for food, then they wouldn't, it would be interesting to see what they thought about us then. They wouldn't think about us so much, would they?
No, quite so. Quite so. Especially, of course, the manipulation of cats, the way that they treat their human operatives.
Yeah. I have to say, I think horses are a bit slightly different than that, though, because, I mean, they can be out eating grass all day and be quite full and happy and contented, and they're still pleased to see you.
Absolutely so. Yes, they're not quite so controlling in that respect.
No, that's right. Okay, so where were we? We've got 5 minutes
so
left.
So Shia, in fact, then, he had this aspect of nature, you see, because he was already, as a spirit, attracted to the value of horse. Mm-hmm. It wasn't that necessarily that he wanted or was destined to become the physical embodiment of that.
Mm-hmm.
But that as spirit, his ultra sensitivity lent itself toward the equine experience.
Mm-hmm.
And that he eventually became a horse of physical state, a white horse, in fact.
I knew that. I was just going to say, was he white?
Yes, and I understand that he was the horse that Wellington, George Wellington, rode.
Really?
Yes.
Well, that can't be a coincidence, can it?
Well,
I mean, what sort of a coincidence is that?
I really do not know, but I understand that that was the being that he became.
Okay.
I do not know what his name was in physical life, but he actually was a horse that had been painted with Mr. Wellington upon him.
So I could find those paintings?
Yes. It is a beautiful white horse. An Andalusian, I understand.
Mm-hmm. I think I've seen it.
Yes. Has this really bold and supreme look about him.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And you knew him.
That's interesting. Amazing.
The point is that when you look at your life experience as a spirit being, it may well be that you actually come from a place which is quite different in respect of how you regard other beings. And it may well be that you suffer as a being from the situations of your physical life, because that has had an impact upon you, a negative impact upon you perhaps moved you away from the life that you could have had you continued to dwell in that experience. That doesn't mean to say that you must be forlorn about it and want to desire to go back to it. The journey of spirit in physical form is not an endless one. It is an indication. It is something of an experiment, something of an understanding that comes to you that, in a sense, you would not bring about that same conditioning in any other way. It does not mean to say, friend, that you have to experience life as a man, or as a small boy, or as an older man, or as an old woman with wrinkly skin. It doesn't mean to say that you have to experience the life of a princess or some other individual just because you feel that you have missed that, or you wouldn't understand what that life was. You understand full well, because when you observe other people in that state of being, you understand what it must feel like, really, if you truly let go and empathize and move and meld with that state of being. You would actually completely empathize with how that person would feel, because you would blend with their spirit,
mm-hmm.
and then you would know.
Mm-hmm.
And that, my friend, is what happens in the spirit world before you ever have a physical life, that you blend with other beings without borders, without barriers. You blend with those beings in a giving, loving way, that cherishes their vibration, cherishes their empathy, their desires. Desires are not things that are based upon the human rationale. They're not things that come from chemical or biological stitch system of the human condition. Desires come from the will and the need to create, to be in service. What does being in service come from? That comes from the well within a self as a spirit being, as a pure spirit being, to give understanding and to create understanding. That doesn't mean to say that you squash something like a fly against the window in order to find out, to try to understand what that must feel like. It means to say that you just observe the fly in its normal natural habitat and what it actually has to do to survive in physical form.
Okay, Gregory, well, that's been absolutely amazing, and I hope everybody's enjoyed it as much as I have. And next week we'll move on from me. We'll carry on from there, but then we'll move on to Mick and when you met Mick.
Understand, Fen, that this is just an illumination. It's showing each and every one of those people who may listen to this that it is a part of their lives too.
Absolutely. Yep. Okay.
Just to reflect that image.
Yes. Yes.
God bless.
Marvellous. God bless. And yes, I mean, the thing is, this is the sort of thing that you can find out if you have an Akashic reading from Gregory, and just absolutely amazing, incredible stuff. So anyway, go to our website, which is spirit-teaching.com, to find out more about Akashic readings or anything about us. And we hope you've enjoyed the show today and that you'll join us again on Thursday at the wonderful BBS Radio. Thank you so much for listening. My name is Sylvie Avery, and you've been listening to Spirit's Work. Until next time, be peaceful, be positive, and focused on your goal, knowing that you're not alone in trying to create a better world. Bye.